Welcome, my AOWs. Today on the show, we're going to talk about a topic I've been getting so many questions on lately, which is, hey, Dr. Hirsch, what can I do or what options do I have? Or am I totally screwed if I'm out of this 10-year window? So we're going to cover what the heck is this 10-year window? What does it actually mean? Where did it come from? And this is going to be a really good show, even if you're not close to that window, you know, just knowing more about the conversation, things that you can say to friends and colleagues. And of course, as always, just give you so much more information to help you make the best choices. So let's do it. Hi, and welcome to Health by Heather Hirsch, a podcast dedicated to uncovering many of the women's health issues many of us are wondering about, but few of us are talking about. My mission is to expose the current gaps in knowledge and care on all things women's health. Enjoy. Thank you guys, as always, for listening to this show. If you love the show, you're going to love my new book, Unlock Your Menopause Type. This book is really meant to help you identify and target and therefore best treat your most bothersome menopause symptoms. In the book, I go through all the different ways menopause can be treated with HRT, of course, non-hormonal therapies, and diet, exercise, and lifestyle. You can get the book anywhere books are sold. And if you are so inclined, please leave a book review wherever you bought your book. I will absolutely be thanking you. I hope you enjoy reading it as much as I enjoyed writing it. Well, if you have been following along, it's been a really busy, crazy week. And you know, I always have a lot of things in the works, a lot of things I'm working on, a lot of things are confidential and I can't say yet, but you know, I'm dying to. And as soon as I can, I'm going to get the green light. And I have just so many things I've been working on. And interestingly, one of the things that's been happening to me, I'm going to do a little story time before we get into the window, because it's a very heavy topic. So let's start with some lighthearted things. Is you guys might find this funny. I'm looking for a doctor, and I'm sort of sitting around thinking, like, who is going to be my doctor? You know, I'm kind of a little picky, maybe because I would like someone to treat people like I treat people. And I know that it's not just always about the individual physician being nice or smart. It's about their time constraints. It's about how many patients they have to see in a day vis-a-vis what their academic institution says or their boss says or whatever that might be. And so actually, you know, I was looking for a concierge doctor, and I was just really trying to find someone in upstate New York where I live. And I know there's plenty of concierge doctors in Boston. Of course, it's a big city. So I'm texting around. I'm texting my sister, and one of our friends is also an internist, but she's not taking new patients, of course, because no one's taking new patients. And she's like, there's just no market for it in upstate New York. Like, sorry, Heather. And so that's me slamming the table out of frustration. And it's, you know, it's funny because I specifically actually want to pay extra for a physician to spend an hour with me, even though I would consider myself healthy, and take their time with me where I don't feel rushed, where I can get really in-depth information, like kind of what I get to give to you. And I'm really actually having trouble finding somebody who's local. And so, you know, eventually I kind of found someone who has sort of like a non-academic related office, because I know it sounds crazy, right? It sounds crazy, but I actually would rather a doctor who's not associated with the big hospitals, because I know all too well. It's like when you worked at, I used to work at Chili's when I was before medical school, and like it ruins it. Like you can't eat there because like you know what the back line looks like, right? I know what it looks like. I know how rushed doctors feel. I know how stiff that waiting room is. Like I really actually wanted for myself a different experience, but I can't find one. So anyways, when I did find this doctor who's not concierge, but they're like, okay, she couldn't see you in June of 2024. And I'm like, oh gosh. So I'm in the same boat as you guys are. And I'm kind of just thinking to myself, I wonder how another doctor will treat me as a patient. It just kind of a funny, weird thought, because I will admit, since I moved from Boston to upstate New York, I haven't had a doctor in the last, I don't have a primary care doctor. Okay. I'm admitting it to the world. I do not have a PCP. But I said this on Instagram today, never hesitate to spend money on your most valuable resource, which is your health. And I got back into cognitive behavioral therapy today, something I've done off and on for many, many years. It's so helpful because I have so many things that I'm processing. I'm a mom to three small children and a podcaster and a doctor and a social media influencer and all these things, of course, that I pile on myself. And I absolutely love it. I was so happy to find a clinician who I could pay and didn't have to wait in line. I really, really needed it. So, you know, never hesitate on taking care of yourself. And so, for some people, they've got the resources. For some people, it's a really far stretch. And it doesn't have to just be me. This is not just about seeing me. This is about that nutritionist, that personal trainer, that physical therapy that's just, you know, cash pay. You know, we spend money on things all the time without thinking about it, you know, like extra bottles of wine or toys for our kids or all these things. And for you to say, I want to give this gift to myself, I'm worth this, I deserve this. And then the return on investment is wild. The return on investment is wild. It could be a massage. I have actually started getting massages like once a month and I literally feel like working. I literally feel better. I do. My muscles aren't so tight. I don't get all these migraines. So never hesitate to spend money on your health because it's going to come back to you multiplied. That which you spend is going to make you healthier, live longer, feel happier, feel better. So, you know, whoever needs to hear that message, because I needed to hear it a few weeks ago before I booked my visit, this is me telling it to you. Okay, so sorry, you know, we're 7 minutes in and you're like, I came for the timing hypothesis. So I just wanted to kind of start loosening up a little bit before I got into talking. Now, if you guys have listened to my show for a while, you know that I sit down in my podcasting room, which was my old cedar closet, and I just talk. I actually don't look anything up. All of this stuff comes from the top of my head and from memory. So if you do want to look up some of the studies that I'm referencing, please feel free. I'm probably 98% accurate on everything that I say, but you know, every once in a while, something comes out wrong. Oh, and in last week's episode, I actually said I wrote opinion piece in the New England Journal of Medicine. I wish, Freudian slip, it was the Journal of General Internal Medicine. And I felt so, you know, I never actually want to go back and edit things, but I really did feel compelled to let you know there's a little bit of a difference between those journals. So it was in the Journal of General Internal Medicine, which is still a really good journal. Anyways, okay. What is the deal with when the window slams shut for you? That's what we're going to talk about. I've had actually lots and lots of patients come see me at in my private telemedicine clinic. We talk about this in my class for healthcare providers, which Evergreen course is up now, ladies. So you can go and enroll, and I just can't wait to see you there. You can get there through... Actually, you know what? DM me if you want to get in the class, because I have yet to put it up on my website. I keep people busy. I've been getting a lot of emails about it lately, a lot of ask me anythings, a lot of emails. And so this is something that I want to start all the way back from the beginning, all the way back in the beginning. And I have a really great, it's probably a year old podcast on the 20th anniversary of the Women's Health Initiative. So it probably came out in the summer of 2022. But if you want a really deep dive on all the nitty gritty of the Women's Health Initiative, scroll and scroll back in my podcasts and you'll find it. It's a great one. It's a doozy. So in the 80s and 90s, it was really routine to give most women hormone therapy shortly after menopause. And studies have kind of tell us the story that at the peak of HRT being prescribed, about 45 to 55% of women were on hormone therapy shortly after menopause. And, you know, then you kind of know the story after the WHI, a lot of women were taken off. And of course, if you want a really personal and heated podcast, listen to last week's episode. And when they did the Women's Health Initiative, The key thing to know is that the average age of women was 62. The average age of menopause at the time was like 50, 51. So this is, you know, 11, 12 years postmenopausal. And they were given oral conjugated equine estrogen, so synthetic progestin, or Prempro, which was conjugated equine estrogen and medroxyprogesterone acetate if you had a uterus, and those were both oral. So most of what we know about the timing is going to come from the WHI and then later from this trial called the ELITE trial. And the study stopped abruptly, not because of a safety threshold crossing in cardiovascular disease or cardiovascular events, clots, PEs, no, cancer, breast cancer. Now we've debunked that for better or worse. And I've got many episodes on that, so I don't want to dwindle here. But then they kind of threw in this 2002 media thing. People, 26% increased risk of breast cancer and, you know, clots and strokes and a whole bunch of bad stuff. So just, and then hormone therapy just, you know, fell off. Shortly, 2007, 2013, 2017, more and more studies were coming out showing that actually, if you started within the first 10 years of your last period, that actually there weren't those risks of cardiovascular disease, like clots, heart attacks, strokes. And so then there became this sort of like this floating idea of like this golden window. If you could just get in when the window is on fire, you know? And to this day, that's actually still really interesting because, you know, I still see patients who come to me and they're like, well, my doctor said it's been too long. It's been like 4 years, 5 years, 7 years. And so actually the studies really show, you know, 10 years. And what it showed, importantly, was if you started between the ages of 60 and 70, there was actually a null effect on cardiovascular disease. Null effect on cardiovascular disease. It actually did not statistically significantly increase the risk for cardiovascular clots. It was really if you started at 70. If you were two decades out, then you had an increased risk for clots. Now, it didn't mean it actually was like it was bound to happen or it actually necessarily even outweighed it. It doesn't mean that, like, you know, even if you're 72 years old, right, and you were going to start HRT then, it doesn't actually mean that, like, oh, you're going to get a clot if you take it. No, it just said that's when the risks seem to outweigh the benefits. And in the medical community, risk is like, I don't know, 1 out of 1,000, right? So actually the word risk, we seem to think like, somebody said the other day, I was actually watching TikTok, the risk of divorce is 56%, yet many of us get married. The risk of clot, even if you started HRT at 72, is not even 56%. It is not, right? All these things are just so funny in context, right? Researchers, scientists, and then trickling down to doctors have like, it seems like, well, if there's a risk, that means obviously that's going to happen and you can't make a decision for yourself. It's crazy. That's crazy. Okay. Now, what's really crucial too is that if you started within the first 10 years, actually the risk of clot did not increase over time. A lot of doctors get this wrong. A lot of doctors get this wrong. Not the ones in my healthcare provider class because they know. But if you start within the first 10 years, the risk of clot is the highest in the first 6 months and then it actually goes down to baseline. So if you started HRT at, let's say, I don't know, 2 years after menopause, you don't have to stop just because you turn 60 or 65 or 70. A lot of doctors still, well, yeah, it's time. We got to take you off. Your risk for clots increasing. No, no, it's not. Not if you started within 10 years. It that risk for clot, the null effect between, you know, 60 and 70, and the risk that outweighed the benefits between 70 and 90 exists. But if that's when you started, if that's when you started. So most women, and hopefully as more and more time goes on, will be able to start within the glorious window. Now, a study that also further proved this point was something called the ELITE trial. And this was done by Dr. Howard Hodes, and he's in Southern California. And what he did was he looked at something called carotid intimal thickening as a subclinical measure of atherosclerosis. Because you might even say, like, why does the risks of clot even increase, Dr. Hirsch? All right, let me explain. When they did the elite trial, they took two groups of women. If you had your last period within 6 years, and then if you're greater than 10 years, I don't know why the 6 to 10 years got missed. I don't know. There was just no overlap. So if you were within 6 years or if you're greater than 10 years, and they saw that if you were within the 6 years since menopause and you started estrogen, there was no progression of atherosclerosis, which is that plaque buildup in your little teeny tiny tubes, your arteries. But they didn't see the same thing if you were greater than 10 years. They saw a little bit of increase in that carotid intimal thickening. Now, did that mean you got a heart attack or clot or stroke? No, it did not. It just means that's what they saw. And so herein kind of lies this physiologic study of actually demonstrating to us what could be happening here. If your body has seen estrogen in the last 10 years is kind of where this, you know, golden window of opportunity is. But if it's seen estrogen within the last 10 years, actually estrogen is anti-inflammatory. Estrogen increases nitric oxide. Nitric oxide actually dilates the blood vessels. And that's really great because then you get this beautiful blood flow around your heart and your coronary vessels. That's probably why there's a decreased risk for cardiovascular disease, even though it's not approved for that, but we see that in the WHI. That's probably why patients' blood pressure seems to go down, potentially also because they're not flashing anymore. So there's less vasomotor instability and all this good stuff. We see reductions in diabetes, reductions in all cancer deaths, reductions in colon cancer in women who start estrogen within the first 10 years when their body has quote unquote seen it more recently. It's kind of like, oh, yep, there's my old friend. Oh, yep, doing its thing, cleaning out my arteries. All right. We're going to skip the 60 to 70. We're going to go to women who are like greater than 20 years postmenopause. 20 years postmenopause, it's likely, although not absolutely an absolute, that maybe within 20 years you have built up some coronary plaque. You've got maybe a little bit of dyslipidemia, elevated cholesterol, maybe some hypertension, maybe some diabetes. These metabolic diseases are troublesome because what they all actually kind of do is affect your arteries, the tubes, the pipes. They affect the pipes. And if the pipes are just kind of like, if there's just gunk building up from that chronic metabolic syndrome, and then you introduce estrogen, it may be a little bit of a pro-inflammatory at that point. It's almost like, you know, it comes along, just kind of like picks at that artery and just like flicks a little piece off. And that little flack kind of is like floating down the pipe and then boom, it clogs it. And that's what can cause either a clot or if it happens in your brain, a stroke, or in your heart, a heart attack. Now, I know you're like, ew, it's still rare. It's still rare, but that's probably the physiology. If you have been thinking of a little cartoon the last couple of minutes while I've been explaining this, good. That will give you a good visual here. Now, in your 60s, even though they saw this increase in carotid intimal thickening in this trial called the Elite Trial, it's not necessarily they saw any increased, you know, clots or strokes. They just see it. And what the WHI showed was that there was actually a null effect on cardiovascular disease, meaning it actually, you know, didn't increase the risk for those cardiovascular events, but it didn't have the really cool benefits of reducing cardiovascular disease that they saw in the women who started within 10 years of menopause. That's really important. Now, there's one other caveat to this here that a lot of people email me, DM me, ask me is, you know, Dr. Hirsch, I'm now, actually, I literally got an email today. I'm, you know, 71 and I took HRT all the way up till I was 68. I started at 50, took it up to 68 until my doctor just pressured me. And I finally came off it and I'm miserable. And I really want to go back on, but now I'm 71. Am I donezo? And this is a great example here because what you hopefully now have kind of thought about is like, but she's only been 3 years without seeing estrogen. You're right. So this like golden window, it doesn't mean that like
there's just one golden window. It has to be thought of in like, what is actually going on? So this particular woman who has had estrogen for 18 years postmenopausally and then off for 3, her body has still seen estrogen. Now, of course, this is an individualized discussion. I would still see this patient, ask her about her symptoms, ask her about her chronic diseases, talk to her about her priorities, talk to her about her symptoms, see what she's tried, see what worked, blah, blah, blah. You know where I'm going with this. Probably use transdermal just because she is 70 anyways. But, you know, again, the point I'm trying to make while stuttering is that if you have been pulled off by your doctor, you can count all those years that you were on estrogen. And sometimes it's only like one or two. And sometimes it just like, you know, I saw a patient who was like 62 and her last period was 50. So maybe now she's like 12 years out, right? Perfectly healthy. And she had taken HRT for about 3 years. So I was like, you're still in the window. You know, you're only 9 years away from the last time you've seen it. Now, what's really actually important here is that if you have a good doctor, which is why I'm worried about who will be my doctor. And look, I'm joking because I don't know everything. But it also means like, what is the patient's state of health? You can't just, I see too many doctors and you know what, by the textbook, maybe they wouldn't be wrong, right? You show up the office, you're 61, your last period was 50. They say, sorry. Okay. The textbooks don't necessarily say that's wrong, but like, it's kind of silly, right? First of all, null effect on cardiovascular disease between ages, you know, between 10 to 20 years without seeing estrogen. You've probably been having symptoms and no one's been treating you. So it's not your fault. And let's say you really actually don't have any chronic diseases. You're really healthy. You've been yogaing your way out of menopause. You've been biking. You've been cooking at home. You have like no chronic diseases. That's a really important factor, right? And so your health also really matters. So I never tell my patients, well, the window's shut. No, that's silly. Sometimes, you know, I actually will find maybe it's been a long time and you do have other chronic diseases and there's really some great non-hormonal options. That happens. Absolutely. There's not one size that fits all. Sometimes we explain the risks and benefits and people, you know, either don't want to take HRT or they say, okay, I do. I understand the risk was 1 out of 1,000. Like I can make this decision for myself. Okay. You know, and so the window for me never really shuts. And what I want you to know about the window is that in the studies that we do have on this, the biggest studies, especially WHI, was on oral conjugated equine estrogen and Mejoxy progesterone acetate. So it's also not like we have really great studies for women who are 68, who never got offered HRT because they went through menopause during the like no-no years, right? 2004 to like before the pandemic. And now they're like, wait, I've been suffering forever, but now am I out of the window? You know, we don't know again about, you know, I'm going to look at your health. I'm going to look at your chronic conditions, look at your medications, look at your symptoms, ask about things that you've tried, ask about non-hormonals, and talk about transdermal HRT and what this safety data is and the risk to you, depending on how long it's been since you've been on HRT. And then of course, add any years that you might've, you know, been on HRT, but we definitely have a decade of women, the decade and a half of women who are just lost, right? Who just are like, this is so unfair. Again, if your menopause, if your last period was between 2004 and like, you know, 2019 or somewhere around there, you know, it's very unlikely that you ever got a full-blown conversation individualized to you about your risks and benefits, about the different formulations that we now have, the different routes that we now have, the different doses to make a decision. And so, you know, we have to be able to, hopefully there are some doctors besides me who will also be willing to have this conversation with you if you are outside the window. You know, I don't like this. You can tell it's not too hard to read me, especially if you listen to my podcast. And again, I think what's important here is that yes, some doctors could just say, nope, so sorry, you're outside the window. I will not do that. And okay, I'm not going to actually even say that they're wrong. It's just, it doesn't make a whole lot of logistical sense because, again, it just doesn't. Now, there's one other caveat to this, and this is the, you know, interesting debate about, you know, is HRT preventative? Is HRT used for, should it be used for preventative health, right? Well, what we know, again, from the Women's Health Study is that in women who started within 10 years who took Premarin or Prempro, they had reductions in all-cause death, reductions in cardiovascular disease, reductions in diabetes, reductions in all cancer deaths, improvements in quality of life, improvements in sexual health. They worked longer. They felt better. They were more productive. But it's not at all approved for primary prevention. So the answer on the test is no. No, we do not use HRT for prevention. Now, if you are outside the window, right, let's say you are that 62-year-old and your menopause was 50, and maybe we do decide to start you on HRT, depending on your circumstances and our conversation and et cetera, that's where I'll also say, look, I know you've heard a lot about heart benefits and bone benefits and all of those things. We didn't even mention bones, but, you know, we didn't, in the Women's Health Study, again, there was a null effect. So it didn't increase your risk for those clots, like, breaking off, but it also isn't as anti-inflammatory it was if you started, you know, a few years ago. And that's just something to kind of know. I know that, you know, women are just so smart in taking all these pieces of information from all these different, you know, crazy little breed of social media doctors that I guess I'm in, but that's a little caveat there. And so I never say the door is absolutely slammed shut. It just doesn't make sense. It really should be individualized because all women have different histories, different, you know, risks that they will tolerate, or not. And I just find this conversation, you know, sometimes I think medicine can be so paternalistic in this way of, well, if you're 62, you can't start because there's a very small chance that some, you know, very, very small, but not statistically significant chance. No, you don't get to decide. That is very paternalistic. Like, I think as women, we have every darn right to say, look, I already had children. Nobody warned me how risky that was. Nobody told me about the trauma I would endure, the PTSD, the postpartum depression, the body. I endured that. I can make this medical decision for myself. Thank you very much. Anyways, you know, one other thing I will also just say here, because it's a good time to talk about it, is that truly, I talk about hormone replacement therapy a lot on social media because I do feel like that's where there's the most myths, misconceptions, and also where even clinicians who follow my channel just love learning about some of this stuff. But it is not to say that that's the only way or that's the right way or you're doomed without it. Please know that message also. I know I don't get to say it a lot, but I do. I definitely weave it in every now and then. There's so many great options. You know, actually, again, I just got done recording this like 12-hour healthcare provider course, and there are so many great non-hormonal options that are much more targeted that we can use in great combinations. Vaginal estrogens for genitourinary syndrome of menopause are safe at any age. This whole conversation applies just to systemic hormone therapy. So there's so many things that we could do for you. I would love to see you, you know, hopefully there's a wonderful doctor near you. There's so much that can be done. So don't think that just because you turned 60 or you had a birthday or menopause was 10 years ago that like all is lost for you. Now that you're like, gosh, now there's all this information. I wish I knew this, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. My mom's best friend tells me that all the time. I wish I had your book 15 years ago. Oh my gosh, I wish I had your book 15 years ago. And I said, well, we're still sending you vaginal estrogen. She said, okay, thank you. And so don't feel like there's nothing that you can do. So really important points here is the window, in my opinion, the door never slammed shut. and we decide together what's best for you. And now you know the physiology of why it's a little bit more, it certainly seems to be anti-inflammatory within the first 10 years and then a little bit more pro-inflammatory, specifically 20 years out. You know, there's this sort of null effect or this sort of null gray zone when it's been between 10 and 20 years. If you did take HRT for any of that time, you can count those years or subtract them from the window, I guess, of your last period. If you start within the first 10 years, you do not have to come off just because then you turn 60 or 70. The key is if you started early, the risk is the highest in the first 6 months, and then you never have to come off unless there's a new diagnosis or you would like to wean off or et cetera, et cetera. There's other things here, but you don't have to just because your doctor says it's time, it's been your birthday. You know, again, every year when I do grand rounds, someone inevitably says to me, Dr. Hirsch, I have this 87-year-old lady on Premarin. I beg her every year. I'm lowering the dose. She swears she can't live without it. What can I switch her to? And I'm like, please leave her alone. She's been on this how many years? And they're like, well, I guess like 37. I'm like, is she healthy? She's 87. Like, leave it. You know, there actually really is no data to remove somebody. And, you know, well, I could do a whole show on this, but there is some data to show that actually the risk for cardiovascular events increases the year you take it off, especially, you know, if it's someone who might be even a little bit older, because they might have actually some endothelial instability without the estrogen at that point. So it's probably just safer to stay on it. So I also hope that you learned a little bit about why there's this risk for cardiovascular disease. It has to do with the buildup probably of plaque within the pipes, within the arteries over the decades, over the years, and things that you can do to combat that. You know, non-medically is exercise. Don't exercise for your physique. Exercise for just longevity, you know, exercise for the feel-good serotonin, exercise just because your body is something God miraculously gave you and it's your vehicle to drive around this beautiful world in, to treat your body like, you know, eat well. If you have, you know, medical conditions and diagnoses, you need medications, consider taking them too. I know it's hard to keep your health, you know, in tip-top shape. So I hope that helped. I hope that really helped. I encourage individualized consultations and individualized care whenever you can. And I'll just circle back to the point that, you know, it's never too late and it's never past point where you can't spend time and money and valuable resources on your health, because it truly, truly, truly is your most valuable asset. All right, guys, as always, I love you so much. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for listening to the show. And I'll see you guys next week for a brand new episode. Bye, everyone. If you love the show and you're dying to work with me, there is a couple of different ways that you can do so. First, I have an incredible menopause course. It's called the Reclaiming Menopause Masterclass. And don't be fooled, it also is for women in perimenopause. In this course, I teach you how to thrive. It's my signature method to help you figure out what HRT regimen is best and right for you and how to make adjustments and then how to get this from your own doctor. Now, I also see patients in my private telemedicine clinic. I have a license in several states and I'm always working on more. You can go to my website, heatherhirschmd.com, to find out if you want to take the course and join our incredible Facebook group with monthly lives or work with me one-on-one. Now, I hope I get the chance to work with you. And thank you so much for listening to the show. If I haven't already done so, thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to my show. Consider subscribing so you never miss an episode. Also, if you love the show, your stars or a quick review could really help other women who are searching for information on menopause and midlife around the globe find this show. If you want to work with me, consider the Reclaiming Menopause Masterclass. The link for that is in the description to this show. Thank you again from the bottom of my heart for all your support, and I'll see you next week for a brand new episode.